Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. These days, the world of children's music is as diverse as the world of music is. Stephen Shepherd is a music reviewer and blogger. You can find his thoughts on children's music and other media for kids at zooglobal.com. He lives in Phoenix. Stephen, thanks so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for asking me, Charity.
And you are a dad. Your kids are now 12 and 16, so kids' music probably isn't their thing still. And this is not your day job. So tell me how you got started reviewing kids' music.
So my wife, when just after the birth of our first child, our daughter, was participating in a parents group, and she signed up for the newsletter committee and asked me to write music reviews on kids' music for the parenting group newsletter, even though I had never actually written a music review in my life. But, like the good spouse I was, I said sure, and I wrote some reviews, and after two or three years, blogging became more of a thing, and I decided to move those reviews off sort of the plain paper newsletters and into the internet. And so I started posting them online, and I started writing new reviews, and by about 2006, that started to be when the internet made it much easier for artists to get their music into the world without sort of thinking about a label. It also happened to be the year that Jack Johnson soundtrack for The Curious George, Kidz Bop, High School Musical had the top three positions on the Billboard top 200 albums chart. So that was a big wake-up call for people that said, oh, people are interested in listening to music that is not just targeted at adults, but, you know, kids are also interested in listening.
Right, and they might even be willing to pay for it. Well, in the world of kids' music is interesting because you have sort of this generic kind of kids' music where you're in a store and there's a CD that it says, oh, songs for kids, and it has 30 songs. And the artists aren't necessarily listed, but it's a lot of people who sound like they're pretending to be children singing music that you probably know. And then there are the artists who are actually crafting music that they hope that children will love and connect with. And it's much more driven by their vision. So this is kind of a two separate worlds within kids' music, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. I remember sort of going through probably Baby Is R Us and sort of seeing a kids' music CD and getting it. This is probably when my wife was still pregnant and listening to it and realizing, oh my goodness, this is just awful. And, you know, I sort of draw this distinction between music sometimes and books for kids because nobody ever is surprised when they become a parent that people write books for kids. And there are authors who, you know, spend lifetimes sort of dedicating themselves to writing timeless or long-lasting books for kids. And I think for a long time, the number, or at least the percentage of people who were doing that in kids' music, I think, was really low. And I think there are a number of people who are sort of thinking about it as, no, I actually consider myself a musician for kids, and they are the audience I'm most interested in, and I want to create something in a recorded product that will last.
Well, and I know parents who maybe they heard those CDs with those compilations of songs sung by anonymous artists pretending to be children and said, you know what, my kids don't need kids' music. My kids can listen to the Beatles and my kids can listen to show tunes and my kid, you know, there's a lot of great music out there that resonates with kids. I don't need kids' music. So given that, because kids do love all kinds of music and will listen to a lot of different things, why do you think it's important to have music for kids?
I think there are a couple reasons. One is I think sometimes the language that kids have, just depending on the age, just isn't as developed as the language that you and I have as parents. And so even listening to some songs, you know, Beatles songs, love songs, songs for adults, they're talking about concepts and words that kids might not fully understand. So that's one reason. I think a second reason is there's a whole wide range of experiences that kids have that I think is poorly served by what we think of as Top 40 or even show tune radio. And so, I mean, we actually, you know, in our house, I remember listening to ABBA on drives, on Sunday drives with my parents. I didn't really listen to a lot of kids' music. We'd listen to ABBA. You know, we listen to Broadway musicals in our house as well. But, you know, we also listen to songs that are, you know, celebrating what it's like to sleep in on a Saturday morning, or, you know, songs celebrating different types of shapes, or things that are of direct interest to, say, a four-year-old that really aren't of interest to a 34-year-old. But why shouldn't the 4-year-old have books targeted at her concern? You know, nobody ever sort of says, oh, you know, Stephen King was good enough for me, it's good enough for my toddler. But I think sometimes, and I'm not saying that people who want to play their kids the Beatles are the equivalent of wanting to read Stephen King to their toddler, but I do think there's a lot of music that addresses the 90% of the world that isn't about love. And that's one of the things that I appreciate as about kids' music, even as my own kids have, for the most part, aged out of the genre.
Absolutely. Well, and you brought us a selection, a really diverse selection of some recent things. So why don't we listen to one of the songs and talk about where you see it fitting in the world of children's music? This is Lucky Diaz and the Family Jam Band with a song called Palatero Man.
On the hottest day of the year, he rounds a corner, the kids all cheer.
Yay!
It's the Mexican ice cream man, selling his paletas to all he can. He's el paletero. He's el paletero man. He's el paletero, making his dinero, selling all his ice creams.
Just a little bit of Lucky Diaz and the Family Jam Band, Palatero Man. So tell me a little bit about this artist and where it's coming from.
So Lucky Diaz and his wife, Alicia Gaddis, they are together in this band. They are out of L.A., and their latest album is really a concept album about what it's like to live in Los Angeles. And so there are different songs that celebrate different parts of living in L.A. There's even a song about being stuck in traffic. But this song here is, you know, really celebratory about the Palatero man who sells those popsicles. And I think one of the things I like about the song and why I think it's representative of a lot of new kids music is that it's bilingual. And so I think one of the things that's been a big growth area for the genre in the last 5 to 10 years is a lot more bilingual music. A lot of people are singing in, they're doing all Spanish language albums or albums that mix both English and Spanish language. And unlike some albums that might sort of be very didactic in terms of, well, and here's how you count to 10 in Spanish, I mean, this song just sort of weaves in a lot of different Spanish language words without even really trying to explain them. They're just sort of naturally part of the song. And I think given the subject matter, I think it melds very nicely. It might sort of be a very didactic in terms of, well, and here's how you count to 10 in Spanish. I mean, this song just sort of weaves in a lot of different Spanish language words without even really trying to explain them. They're just sort of naturally part of the song. And I think given the subject matter, I think it melds very nicely.
Well, and the music is sophisticated. I mean, if you don't listen too closely to the lyrics, you don't necessarily know that this is meant for kids.
Right. No, I think a hallmark of the modern kids music that, you know, if you went through Babies R Us 15 years ago and looked for kids music, would have been all synthesized sounds, you know, somebody on a keyboard, whereas this is, you know, layered production and real instruments, and yeah, definitely not done on the cheap or slowly.
Well, and I think
or very quickly.
Right, right. I think one of the things that I don't know, for me as a mom, back when my kids listened more to kids' music, one of the things that I found really interesting was how often I found myself singing the songs and how they, in fact, I still have a couple on my running playlist that my kids don't listen to anymore, but I still do. You know, the fact that these can appeal to people of all ages, although they are clearly directed to kids.
Yes, yes. No, and I think if you talk to a lot of artists, they sort of think about it the same way. They will all say, I'm not writing for kids. I'm trying to write music that is just good music and happens to maybe be targeted to the kids in terms of subject matter. But they're certainly not trying to dumb down the musical production in any way.
Well, let's listen to another song. And this is a classic song, a traditional song, Little Liza Jane. So it's something a lot of people will be familiar with. But it's performed by Jazzy Ash and really brings this song some new life.
I'm gonna teach you a little song I know I learned from round the way. It's a sing-along and here's your part. This is what you say. You sing Little Liza Jane. Try that.
Little Liza Jane.
Oh yeah, Little Liza Jane.
Little Liza
One
Jane.
More time, sing Little Liza Jane.
Little Liza Jane.
Little Liza Jane.
Why did you pick this song?
Well, Jazzy Ash, real name Ashley Cristoval, is another Los Angeles-based musician, but she has family roots in the New Orleans area, and so she has, in the course of her kids' music career, sort of focused on jazz and sort of particularly the sort of New Orleans style of jazz. And so one of the things I loved about this track is its energy, her voice, and just the way it mixes this very classic kids song with a new jazz background. I wish there were even more jazz albums for kids, but I'm happy that this one exists because it's just lots of fun and really joyful.
Well, and I love jazz myself, so I played my kids a lot of jazz music that could be for kids, but so many of the jazz standards are all about love. So I can you need this, something that kind of takes that out of the equation.
Yeah, and she in particular is very inspired by the queen of the living legend of kids music, Ella Jenkins. And, you know, she on the album sort of does a lot of songs that people might have heard Ella Jenkins sing on her classic albums. So I feel like it's celebrating Ella's music, but, you know, updating the sound so that it's, you know, it's a very vibrant, lots of different instruments joining in.
All right, so let's play something very different. This is from Steven. It's called A Fact is a Gift That You Give Your Brain. All right, a little bit of A Fact is a Gift That You Give Your Brain. Give me a little background on this.
Oh, I love this song. This band, Steven, consists of two guys named Steve. One, Steve Burns, who you may remember from Blues Clues.
I do remember Steve from Blues Clues.
And the other is Stephen Drozd, who is in The Flaming Lips. So you've got these two artists who, you know, Steve Burns never did kids' music while he was on Blue's Clues, and Stephen Drozd doesn't have a background in terms of kids' music, but they somehow hooked up with one another to create this band that the songs are on the album are so delightfully loopy and weird, but power poppy, which is sort of my own sort of personal musical sweet spot. And this song, I love the song. But it's also one of those things where, like, it's a great song, but if you, like, listen to the lyrics, I mean, they're telling you lots of stuff, but because the musical bed is so compelling, you're like, oh, I don't mind that they're telling me pieces of information. Whereas I think a lot of music that can be didactic feels didactic, yeah, because there's no imagination in the music itself, whereas this is just so catchy and melodic. You don't really mind that maybe you're learning something.
And parents everywhere are going to go around singing it whether they want to or not.
Exactly. And which I think has helped because, you know, as you can well appreciate, as you know, the kids will get stuck on a certain song or album, and that just means that the parent may need to listen to the song, 10, 15, 20 times. And so I think there's a degree of tolerance for repeated plays that kids' music sometimes has a much higher bar to clear than regular music. And so finding that album that you're like, oh, I don't mind listening to that again, is really, it's obviously important for the kid, but it can be very helpful to the parent.
Absolutely. Well, Stephen Shepherd, thank you so much for talking with me today.
You're welcome, Charity. Thank you so much for asking.
Stephen Shepherd is a music reviewer and blogger. You can find his thoughts on children's music and other media for kids at zooglobal.com. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.